We want to hear about Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. We heard some Gaur Lila and some discussion about Nam Tattva, and we can try to practice some of these teachings tomorrow or in our japa. So these are Krishna's evening pastimes from a very wonderful classic book called Bhavanasara Sangraha, which was compiled by Siddha Krishnadas from Govardhan, 1860. And it's collected from, it's actually an anthology, a collection of authorized descriptions of Krishna's Ashtakali Lila from the Govinda Lila Amrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita, Krishna Anika Kumudi, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Gopal Champu, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, and many, many, about 40 different books by the Goswamis. So it begins with what they call Gaur Chandrika, a small mention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. As Gaurachandra pondered Krishna's ecstatic pastimes in Braj, Lord Chaitanya swooned with longing, his eyes flooded with tears, and his bodily hair stood erect in bliss as he started to remember, as he remembered Lord Krishna's pastimes. Gaura, identifying himself with Radha's intense mood of separation, cried out in a choked voice, "I must go to the bower to see Krishna. I cannot wait any longer." Gaurahari stumbled along the path to Srivas Thakur's house. So he was walking from his house to Srivas Thakur's house. This is at 8:24 in the evening. From 8:24 in the evening until 10:48 in the evening, it's called Pradosh Kal or Pradosh Lila. So Gauranga has his Nitya Lila in Navadvip, and Lord Krishna and Radha have their Nitya Lila in Vrindavan. So this is simultaneously going on. So the author says, "May Gauranga or Gaurahari stumbled along the pathway to Srivas Thakur's house. Then he sat down amongst all his devotees, looking like the full moon surrounded by a host of stars. May I always remember the blissful evening pastimes of Gaurahari." So this is a summary of the Leela. Krishna and Balaram ate their dinner and rested briefly, and then they went to the palace auditorium. Krishna and Balaram respected everyone assembled there before they sat down to enjoy the performances. A variety of poets and Puranic reciters entertained everyone. Krishna happily rewarded the performers with money, grains, and cloth before retiring to his quarters. Yashoda's assistants served hot milk to the divine boys and then laid them down to rest. Yashoda repaired to her bedchamber. Krishna intensely yearned to meet his sweetheart. He secretly left the palace and ran to the forest bower. Bower means kunj, Keli kunj or Nikunj. Meanwhile, in Yavat, Radha rose from bed, sat in a chair, and washed her face. The Sakis dressed Radha according to the phases of the moon. A dark blue dress during waning moon, or a white dress during the waxing moon, Shukla Paksha. Radhika learned of the meeting place, Sanket Kunj, set by her messengers, and then Radha left home accompanied by her intimate Sakis. Radha ran and sometimes walked slowly while proceeding to the gem-studded cottage in a bower of desire trees beside the Yamuna. Kishori and her sakis admired the astonishing beauty of the pastime cottage. With the arrival of night, the sakis eagerly prepared Radha for her abhisar with Krishna, which means meeting, by dressing her in white clothes. This is another, he repeats a verse from another book. Following Brinda's cue, they went to the Sanket Kunj, secluded meeting place among the desire trees on the banks of the Yamuna. Due to his thirst for pastimes of love, this is a repeat, Krishna left unseen by anyone and ran down the footpath to meet Radhika in a solitary grove. When their eyes met, Radha Madhav's minds danced in joy, and their divine bodies erupted with expressions of love. Radha Shyam joked with their sakis and then relished the most intimate and satisfying pastimes. May we always remember Radha Govinda's enchanting evening pastimes. Now that's the summary. Now they begin with the detail. So this is 8:24 in the evening, which is right now, until 10:48 at night. So this particular part of the pastime is 8:24 until 8:48. Right now. If we could somehow enter into the Leela Pravesh, enter into the Leela by the strength of our Shuddha Nam, we could see this pastime and render service over there. Radha passed her time in her mother-in-law's house, in Jatila's house, by lying her lover down on the bed of her mind in the golden home of her body, behind the closed doors of her beautiful lotus eyes. So, this is a very nice imagery. Radharani, in other words, Radharani was sitting in her mother-in-law's house. She closed her eyes, and she remembered Krishna. Indu Prabha Sakhi suddenly arrived from Nanda Maharaj's palace with the intention of allaying Radha's anguish. Because Indu Prabha, she was there in Nandagaon and she saw Krishna's Leela. So eyewitness news. So she came to Yavat immediately to give the report of what happened over there. She said, "Oh Radha, Vrindavan Chandra, whose absence makes you so distressed, craves madly for you and no one else. Although Krishna steals the hearts of everyone in the three worlds, his heart has been stolen by you." Then Vishakha said, "O Sakhi Indu Prabha, your Krishna Katha is like a shower of ambrosia for the Chakora birds of our ears." Indu Prabha continued, "Nanda Maharaj sat Giridhari on his left side and Baladev on his right to take their meal. It seemed like Kubera, the lord of wealth, was flanked by his two gems, Padma and Shankh. Nanda Maharaj's brothers and their sons, who were invited nightly for dinner, sat around him like Chakora birds, thirsting for the nectar of Hari's moon-like face. Krishna Balaram looked like the Himalayas of transcendental bliss, surrounded by other mountains. On Yashoda's request, Tungi, the mother of Subhadra, and the wife of Upananda, who is the elder brother of Nanda Maharaj, and who was expert in etiquette, and Rohini, first served the brahmanas, then their own husbands, Subhadra, Balaram, Krishna, and others. Tungi served warm, sweet-smelling rice, saturated with golden ghee." I hope no one's hungry. "There were gold trays of assorted fried items and wet and dry sabjis placed before the guests." See, you see that? "Tungi, Rohini, and Yashoda carefully served Nanda and his clan the various bitter, pungent, spicy, salty, sour, and sweet items in their respective order. They also served soft rotis, sweet rice, pies, cakes, and sanjava made from milk and white flour. Yashoda, who knew everyone's appetite and preference, signaled to Rohini to serve their favorite dishes." So here, even in Krishna's Leela, you can hear or you understand from this description how the host is so expert in serving the guests. So the hostess is Yashoda Devi. Of course, she's the mother. But she's serving her children and all the guests, the brothers of her father, Upananda, Avinanda, Sunanda, etc., and also their children. And it says the special quality Yashoda has as an ideal hostess is that she knows exactly what each person likes due to familiarity and repeatedly eating with them. So she has in her mind, she knew everyone's appetite and preference. It means what are their favorite articles. Oh, this person likes pakoras, so give him extra pakoras. Mm-hmm. Because last Sunday feast he came and took so many pakoras. Because this is a sign of a good host. That he actually tries, he knows the heart of his guests or her guests and tries to please them by giving them their favorite preparations. Yashoda personally distributed unlimited amounts of condensed milk, shikarini, fruit pickles, matita, rasala, shadava, thick yogurt, and sweet mango juice. Yashoda, Rohini, and Tungi felt shy before Nanda and the guests. They could not directly exhibit their motherly concern to sumptuously feed their sons. Indirectly, however, they expressed their eagerness with their minds, words, and glances. The minds of Nanda Maharaj and the men melted with attachment, and their bodies moistened with tears of love. They directly expressed their affection for Krishna and his friends by inducing them to eat with their minds, glances, and words. The elder men urged the already stuffed Krishna and the boys to eat again and again. Their mothers exulted in seeing them eat. The only difference between the morning meal and the evening meal was that Madhu Mangal's joking was more subdued before the elders, and Yashoda's eagerness to serve was more intense because of the presence of many elderly relatives. Krishna and Balaram could not joke and play freely in such an atmosphere with so many elders surrounding them. In other words, they felt uptight. In the morning time, when Krishna and Balaram meet with Sridham and Subal and Madhu Mangal, it's mostly just boys. The men are out in the barn, or they're in the Goshala, or in the fields. They're in the Goshala, or in the fields, or they're attending to some other duties. But in the morning time, it's the mothers. It's Rohini and Yashoda, and of course, Radharani's also there with the Sakis. They're cooking in the kitchen. And so the atmosphere is much more free and open. Krishna and Balaram could not joke and play freely. Moreover, Yashoda could not liberally pamper the boys because of the presence of Nanda and his brothers. However, for Krishna's relatives, the evening meal was 100 times more blissful because the entire family could enjoy Krishna's association. During the evening meal, the father savored the topmost bliss in all their senses by seeing Krishna's sweet smile, hearing his nectar words, smelling his sweet fragrance mixed with the incense swirling about the dining table, and touching the wind as the boys fanned Krishna with palm leaves and by tasting the delicious food. So by this description you can hear that the coward men, Krishna's father and Krishna's uncles, all of their senses were inundated with bliss and satisfaction by experiencing Krishna's smile and hearing his words and smelling his beautiful sweet body and touching the wind from his body. After the meal, the servants brought cool, fragrant water in jewel-studded golden pots so that Nanda, Krishna, and Balaram and their friends could rinse their mouths. So tomorrow we'll hear about Krishna's sleeping chamber. Yeah. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai.